call you back just as soon as I can.
The mailbox is pulling.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and I'm still here. You know, I've heard people talk about writer's block when they're, you know, mostly discussing somebody who writes, you know, books or whatnot. But I know it very well also in writing software, because sometimes it just doesn't come. And I've really felt that the last couple of days. And it really bums me, because obviously I have pressure. But I did work on, because I mentioned I have a bug. And what I did is, because I've been really emphatic on this, if there's a bug and the tools that are built into Shelfware Nexus don't show me the bug, I make sure that fix the tools that help me debug so I can find the bug. And I've been working on that today, and I found a bug in my bug software, and works great. You know, at least that's, and hopefully, Lord willing, tomorrow I'll fix the other bug and be back on track. That is my hope. This morning, apparently March 1st, there was a video released by a gentleman, Mohammed Al-Nas, out of Libya, and apparently got really, really popular. My guess is not in the U.S. because it's on Twitter, and there's the link there. And of course, I have a copy on because lostget.org now. The guy did, you know, it's very artistic to make a point. He does it beautifully. He really does it beautifully. And I thought about it, and I thought about various related things. I figured, okay, I'm going to write an email to a few people. And I said, no, I'm going to turn this into an article. Because, you know, I've talked about several articles that I was going to write. Well, this one I wrote. I finally wrote one. Haven't done this in a while. So I've passed it to a couple people to review it before I put it. I'll put it on kozlowska.org. I'll put it on my Substack account where I have, you know, get 5 views maybe. But anyway, so maybe 5 or 10 people will read this. But I do think it's substantive. And unlike this gentleman who, the Twitter count is like 2 million views. But of course, it's a lot of people, will, especially since it's short, will watch it many times and share it with a lot of people. So, but it's a reasonable possibility he's got at least 100,000 eyeballs. You know, so, because again, masterfully done. And for whatever reason, it was done and it was discussed it was done March 1st. March 7th, there was a video done by Al Jazeera, but I didn't see it and I haven't checked, but I it does seem, because when I did download the Al Jazeera report, which is on there, you know, Al Jazeera English, when you download the videos, has the auto-translated subtitles in English. This one has the auto-translated subtitles in Arabic. My assumption is, because there's Al Jazeera English and there's Al Jazeera Arabic, and that's probably where this was done. Even though there's English in the report, but I don't know if it was released. I guess I can still double check that. But anyway. But today, there was a thing, BDS movement, Palestinians in occupied West Bank boycott Israeli products. They alluded to this because I've seen a previous report where I'm aware of this. A group had come out with an app, you know, basically a database that they're keeping up with. So you can go to a store and, you know, with your cell phone, you know, scan the QR code or, you know, the barcode and find out if the product is manufactured or has, you know, whatever degree of input from a Zionist organization or a Zionist supporting organization. And apparently a lot of people are using it to boycott any products from a Zionist organization. you know, because there's this what's called the BDS movement, boycott, divest, sanction. And, you know, I fully respect boycotting. I avoid particular products myself. You know, again, I haven't been to Walmart in years and years and years. I haven't been to McDonald's in years and years and years, and so forth. I haven't had a Coke in 40 plus years. But anyway, it's 45 years, whatever it is. It's not quite 50 yet. But that's a different reason. But, you know, divest, I can see where, okay, my company, if we or organization has invested in somebody and we don't want to support them, so we'll divest. I can see that. Sanctioning is an act of war. And I fully stand against that. I don't think we should sanction Israel. I don't think we should sanction Russia, China, wherever, because it's an act of war. And the U.S. sanctions more than any other country. Because, you know, we're warmongers, what can I say? But anyway, so I find this fascinating what's happening. And I wanted to write, you know, obviously with some other information and from hopefully at least you can see the hint of a Christian perspective. And so the text is on the webpage, but I want to read it simply because I want to read it. And again, it's being reviewed. And it'll probably go online, be published, made public tomorrow. The working title I have is, Say Hamas 10 Times and You Will Feel Better. Pardon the rant, but I just found out about a short video done by a young guy in Libya, Mohammed El-Nas, that has caused a stir with some almost 2 months ago. You remember Libya, the economic powerhouse in Africa that was attempting to separate the continent from the power of the U.S. dollar? We show them that our money can buy a whole lot of bombs to destroy them, and we can learn the term open-air slave markets. You can find the video on Twitter. What really disgusts me is the attitude of the Christian Zionists. Please keep in the forefront of your mind that Zionism has nothing to do with the Bible or the Tanakh. It is an ideology seeded in the mid-1800s and spearheaded by Theodor Herzl in 1897 at the Zionist Congress, where they adopted a flag to symbolize the political, not theological, Zionist movement. Just over 50 years later, the country of Israel was formed. They adopted the same flag for the country, and you can find photos of the leadership then in front of a painting of Theodor Herzl. It may be no surprise that when you see photos of current Israeli leadership in meeting rooms, often a single photo can be found in the room. That, of course, is of Theodor Herzl. Please consider the article, Why the Follower of Christ Should Not Endorse the Country of Israel. So look at the image of the young girl. Do you see Hamas, an organization funded by the State of Israel, as controlled opposition, or do you see a young girl? Some time ago, the numbers reached about 1% of the Islamic community in Gaza killed by the IDF. At the same time, about 3% of the Christian community in Gaza were killed by the IDF. Do you think that's okay? About a third of those killed are kids. But if you just say Hamas 10 times, you can justify that in your mind and heart. A criticism of the video by El-Nas is the use of Pepsi. Why do they have to do that? What do they have to do with bombs? We must first ignore how Pepsi has bought up competition in Israel, as that seems to be a distraction. But who are the dominant owners of Pepsi and Coke? That would be BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. They also happen to be the dominant owners of the military-industrial complex, the ones who make the bombs. So yes, there is a relationship. I've become a big advocate of local farmers markets, and for many years have eaten the majority of my food from them. This is the idea of practicing what you preach. Don't say that on Sunday, as it can make people uncomfortable. There are drawbacks, as I'm a whole lot healthier now, and therefore do not have a reason to subsidize the medical industrial complex. But not buying my food from Pepsi, McDonald's, and Walmart means I'm not supporting BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. So I'm not supporting those who own the companies that make the bombs to kill the kids in Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, etc. But again, say Hamas 10 times out loud, and you won't have to think about it. In the U.S., most know the name Biden or Putin. Many know Macron or Modi, But how many know Larry Fink? He is the head of BlackRock, which is a multi-trillion dollar corporation and economically bigger than all but the top few countries. You will find it hard to arrange a personal conversation with him. Keep in mind how much of the food you eat he has significant control of. When you go to the farmer's market, you can have a conversation with the farmer, the person who actually grows the food you can then eat. I can tell you from experience that it can be mutually beneficial and encouraging conversation. I wholeheartedly recommend it. The other thing about the photo is that you see a dad holding his young girl. I know the joy of doing this as I have 5 daughters. About 12 years ago, I held 2 of my youngest daughters, like this dad. Then with the help of the leadership of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they were taken from me, and I haven't seen them since. It is like they were hit with a bomb, and the root issue was money. But I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to seek reconciliation, even when response from my family or institutional church leadership is only silence. Time does not heal all wounds. Ask many dads in Gaza, and they will tell you the same. So, you will note that I directly mentioned Covenant Presbyterian Church. And my intention is, once this is published, to email them with this text. Because, again, I'm continuing to pursue reconciliation. And I'm hoping, because of the content of the article, it may get a response. Skeptical. I mean, over a decade of trying, it's produced nothing. But I'll try. So one last thing on this. You know, I gave you something from Twitter and then from Al Jazeera. Well, let's also do RT. They did an article yesterday. Nestle pushes products with added sugar in developing countries. I find this interesting. This is a report from how Nestle is pushing. This is a lady from South Africa, and who works for RT. I've seen her many times. She is very articulate, and it discusses how Nestle, you know, a big, huge, massive. I mean, the world's largest food corporation, and probably I haven't checked, but probably a good part of it's owned by, I don't know, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. They make different products, because I'm quite aware that a lot of companies which you buy here or buy in the UK or buy in other parts of Europe is different. Same label, same brand name, but the product is different. Typically, it's healthier overseas than it is here. There's a lot more added sugar and things of that nature. And apparently, what Nestle is doing is a lot of the products that are headed especially to Africa, they're adding more sweeteners, specifically infant formula. And the suggestion here is to train up a child in the way he should go, get him addicted to sugar as an infant, so he will be stuck in it for the rest of his life. Again, remember, because I mentioned this to Chris today, the sugar industry and the medical industry don't simply just work together in the sense that the more they push sugar, the more you have poorer health, the more you need the medical industry. So they basically feed each other. You know, it's like the food and drug. No, well, yeah, they're the same. They're all, it's the revolving door with all these places. But it's just like the Drug Enforcement Agency and the drug industry. They work hand in hand. You know, because again, the CIA is the cocaine import agency. So it's they work hand in hand, even though they appear to be on opposite sides. And I suggest the sugar industry and the medical industry is the same thing. And when you instill it into a kid and get them addicted young, you have a whole huge market. Plus, the other thing about sugar, which has been, it's a sedative in a sense, and it makes you more lethargic, so you're easy to manipulate. It's a control thing also. Anyway, I'll let you know. Lord willing, I'll let you know that the article is published and online tomorrow. And anyway, and Lord willing, I'll also be able to share that the bug that I introduced has been found and I'm back on track. And writer's block is over, I hope. My lady, my wife, your husband loves you. Your husband really loves you. And I'm asking for you back.